Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Rated G Radio. Tonight we're going to be welcoming back one of your favorites and mine, Mr. Mark DePina. We call him Dip for short because that's what everybody down under calls him. He's the Sydney Surfer and he's going to be back to recite poetry with us. I never thought a poetry hour on Rated G Radio would be as popular as it is, but you guys absolutely eat it up every time Mark is on, or Dip. I need to just call him Dip. I love calling him Mark though, but every time Dip is on, you guys go absolutely nuts and tune in and then tell everybody else to tune in afterwards. So, number one, thank you for that. And it's great to have somebody as talented as Mark come on the show and share his great talent with the world like he does so generously with his time. Want to just do a quick reminder of what has been going on this week on the show, what's coming up, and what you can also be looking for next week as well. On Tuesday, we had Justin with Living Crystals. He was also down in the Gold Coast area of Australia, so it's our Australia twofer week with Dip on the show today. Yesterday we had Psychic Lisa Peeney on the show, and then tomorrow, live from London, England, we're going to have Mr. Adrian Stiles, and he's going to be doing a special Friday night dance party at noon Pacific time, so you can start your Friday and weekend early with a little Friday night dance party for your lunch hour. But we're doing it at noon because, you know, with the 8-hour time difference, if we do it at 7 o'clock my time, it's the middle of the night. The guy wouldn't be awake. So we appreciate Adrian for taking time out of his schedule. Next week, a full lineup with a couple of notable exceptions. I'm going to share that with you. On Monday, June 1st, we have Dr. Annie Ulrich coming on to take your calls. Tuesday, we have a teacher out of Southern California. His name is Jason Hayes. And his drama program at the high school is trying to raise money to send kids over to Scotland to perform some Shakespeare, of all things. So we're going to hear from Jason, possibly have some of the kids call in and learn about what they're planning to do this summer. Wednesday, we have Zoe Nicholas returning to the show again. Thursday, here's the deal. We're not doing a show next Thursday, June 4th. You know why? Because Thursday, June 4th is the launch party for my album, Blonde Jesus, which I'm holding in my hand today. The actual CD showed up about a week early. I don't know how that happened. I wouldn't have paid for expedited shipping knowing that. However, they're in my hot little hands, and everybody who is buying them off of the website of GarrettMiller.com, I'm mailing your autographed CDs out tomorrow morning. And if you still want to get in on that, just simply go to my website, GarrettMiller.com. Click the option that you want. You go through PayPal, and I send it right on off to you. So it's really, really cool. So next Friday, we're not doing a Friday night dance, or we're not doing a Thursday show because we've got the launch party up in West Hollywood. I can't wait to do that. And then next Friday, the actual launch of the album, we're going to actually have a returning guest to the Friday dance party. It's Mr. Bunny Sigler. He's been a historic figure in R&B music. He's written Grammy-winning songs. He's sung Grammy-winning songs, and he's going to be talking about his brand new album that's out, and that will be at a special start time at 5 p.m. But that's next week. So with all of that excitement going on, I can't even contain myself, but I want to say welcome back to the show, Dip. How are you today?
Good morning. Good evening, Garrett.
It's morning, it's midday. Time.
Yes, it's 12 o'clock, right on the dot. So that's 7 hours difference. So, thank you for having me again. I really appreciate your time.
Well, you that's have such great. A loyal fan base, I'm telling you. Every time we have you back on, Mark, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So I think we've stumbled onto, you know, poetic genius here.
Oh, you make me laugh. No, I just really enjoy it, as you know. And I had just want to just clarify something with you. You do amazing promotions for me on the start of the show. And one of the things you wrote was from the Gold Coast. Now, I know the guys from the Gold Coast, to call Cronulla the Gold Coast, they'd get a bit of a laugh out of it. But we're about 1,000 k's south of the
Holy
Gold
cow,
Coast.
Holy cow, that's nowhere near the Gold Coast.
Exactly. You know
lesson.
Why? Because
we'll spend our time today doing geography.
No, just quickly. You know how your friends with Mary Lou? Is it Mary Lou?
Right.
Well, she is up from the Gold Coast, that area, so I think that's where the confusion came.
Oh, yeah, well, I just figured...
Cronulla, Cronulla is about, it's probably, it's in Sydney, and Sydney to Brisbane is probably 1,000 k's.
Oh, goodness gracious. Now I feel silly.
But it doesn't matter. It was good. It was good to say that, because it got a bit of a laugh out of a few friends. So.
Well, there you go. So for all of Dip's friends who are listening, that's my fault for not knowing geography better. We're just going to take out the Gold Coast next month. We're just going to call him the Sydney Surfer, because I like how that sounds.
Oh, thank you. Actually, my geography of your West Coast could be very similar. I mean, I can only just look at the distances and what people have said. But where you are in the Huntington Beach, you said, didn't you? You're that area?
Yep, I'm down in Huntington Beach, you bet.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I know about that beach is obviously there's been a few surfing competitions over the years. So it's a good sort of spot for that, because it's the vantage point you get from that is all those piers where they actually surf through the piers. It looks pretty dangerous, but they're always very popular. It's always like 10 or 12,000 people on the beach when you see the coverage of that surfing event. You see it
I think it's 10 or 12,000 people on the beach, and all 10 or 12,000 park on my street.
Is that right? Are you that close? Are you? Oh wow!
I'm like 4 blocks. So if I can take a slow walk to the beach, and it takes me 5 minutes, but during the surf competition, there's the 4th of July, and then about like 2 weeks later, the surf competition happens, and it's really for those 3 weeks during that first part of July that it is just overwhelmingly swarmed with tourists, which, of course, you know, the local businesses love for the tourist dollars, and we're grateful for every single one. But parking here is an absolute nightmare if you park on the street.
Well, look, at Cronulla, which is my local beach, I'm probably about 2 minutes in a car and probably 10 minutes in a fast walk. But we're getting that stage in summer where the beaches, the parking's getting pretty hard to park in our local area. I've watched the popularity of the beach and just, I think there's all new housing estates coming up in the area, and the infrastructure isn't really there for it. So it's going to be interesting in a few years' time just how it's going to work. But Cronulla's getting more popular each time, and it's all getting built out pretty quick. And there's some people that live at the southern end of the beach. There's one road in, and on a weekend, you know, you'd be lucky to take you 10 minutes. Normally, you get out, would take you half an hour. And,
wow.
I suppose that's pretty sort of, typical of beachside areas. And as you say, your area just explodes in summer with the summer vacation, I assume. So it's the same here. Getting back to the bit about the Gold Coast, the Gold Coast is a very prominent sort of tourist attraction, because it's got the really nice wave that they have for the competition, and it's just the weather. And north of New South Wales, it can be really warm and inviting, but they have the downtime, they have their cyclones that come down and cause a bit of havoc. We're sort of a little bit too low for the cyclones. We don't get those, you know, horrific sort of weather patterns as much. We get the tail end, maybe a bit of rain and a bit of swell, which is great for the surfing. But
sure,
as for the really, really bad sort of, because you seem to, I read a stat there the other day that you guys have something incredible amount of tornadoes in a year across the state, and
we don't have any in California. I mean, that's the thing. You know, you get the tornado. We have the tornado belt, which is for me like probably the same 1,000 kilometers that it is for from the Gold Coast to where you're at in Cronulla, and so they're nowhere near anywhere where we're at. But when they hit hard, and it's devastating for the people and the infrastructure that live there. But we get earthquakes
but there's a movie just about to be released, if not already out, with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, with the San Andreas, and was actually filmed in the Gold Coast. A lot of the footage was done up there, but obviously a lot of computer imaging. But it looks pretty amazing, the graphics, and It's sort of always sort of I wonder about people that live on that fault line. You know, to see movies like that, they must sort of go, "Oh, I don't want to really watch this," because it's very graphic. Just from the shorts, I've seen a few of the shorts at the movies. And,
yeah, I think
you
they,
know the one.
They premiered it down in Australia as well. So you know, you guys not only had a film there, it also premiered a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, I look, I'd say that it'd be out for sure because he's in town at the moment. Dwayne Johnson is promoting it, and he was on the. We got a local football show called the Footy Show, and he was on there last night. And so I'm assuming it's already out, and as is the our new Mad Max movie called Road to Fury, which that is. Look, if you're into car chases, it's pretty graphic and it's fun. And from the original Mad Max movie, George Miller, he's really come ahead, especially with all the computer imaging and the special effects these days. I'm sure if we had those Mad Max special effects back in the original one, you know, you wouldn't even look at the first one much now compared to these newies. It's just incredible. And I think the one that started all that, you know, some of the Lord of the Rings trilogy with that.
Oh, sure. The special effects. Yeah.
Some of that graphic, the computer imaging just changed the whole, you know, concept. Like, when you to see that in 3D, this San Andreas, I think it'd be just amazing. But, so I digress.
Well, so what's been going on in your life this last month? It's been a while since we've been able to catch up.
It's 6 months. It's been 6 months since I've been made redundant at work, or as I said, retired now. And I didn't know how hard retirement was. surf, right. No, it's been fun. I'm really enjoying my riding still, and I've had a chance to get in the water most days, and still get inspired by some great ocean photos, which we did last time. And I don't know how many, you know, you said there's a lot of listeners that have listened before, but for those that are new to listening to your show regarding me as a guest, do you want me just to sort of
just
a quick rundown, or are you happy?
Yeah. No, I always think it's good because we pick up new people all the time. So anytime that you are on, I always kind of like to have you give us the real deal.
Yeah. Firstly, Garrett, are you hearing me well on this? Because this is the headset mic, and I think it makes a difference. It allows me to move around without.
Well, I think you sound great. I was going to ask you the same because I've changed how I'm dialing into the studio now. And I don't hear me talk at all. It just goes into my headphones, and I have to assume that you can hear me when I talk. So I'm grateful that you talk back when I talk to you.
Well, there's no echo, but you are sounding a little bit hollow, like as if you're in a different room. But it hasn't got that repeat of the voice, you know, like we had last time. So it is a lot better to listen to. So yeah, that's we're getting in. This is the fourth interview now, so we're improving.
I always like improvement. That's always good.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, and I know you're pretty busy in your world, and we'll talk about that later. But basically, for me, as I said to you, this all started, this writing, 4 years ago or 5 years ago when I was invited to Facebook, as you known, where to look at surfing photos, and I started to make little comments in rhyme, and I really enjoyed the rhyming part, and some 3,000 poems now, later, I'm still really enjoying it, and I've put out a book, and I want to do a second book called Poems from the Sea, which is based on all the amazing images that people share on Facebook. There's some incredible surf photographers out there that share their photos, and I just get inspired to write to those. And if it wasn't for the image, I probably wouldn't be as you know, inspired to write, because virtually all my poems are written that way. And so we did that last time. I've done the romance sort of poems to you, and I've done the sea poems and the motivational poems, and I just sort of thought I'd go through the archives last night, because I've obviously correlated. I really should sit down and put them into categories, but I just picked a few poems. One thing I was going to bring up last time, and and I really got into him lately. I didn't appreciate just how funny this guy was your own Robin Williams, because he does a lot of stand-up comedy, and I watched an hour show from over there, and I saved me in stitches. And I mean, you had your Mork and Mindy days and some of his movies, but I never really appreciated how funny that guy was. And it's funny, when he was actually found and he died of depression, I think a lot of people were shocked, because the image he presents to the public is always this funny image, and you just don't know what happens behind closed doors for some of these people. And this probably is a lead into the first poem I want to write, because at the time I actually wrote a poem called Behind a Smile, and it was based purely on Robin Williams' death, because as I've talked to you personally, I went through depression probably about 10 years ago, pretty bad, and I can relate pretty much to where he's come from. And outwardly, people might seem quite happy and outgoing, but they can be quite, bad in their ways in with depression, and it doesn't show outwardly like, a disease can. But I wrote this poem, and so how about we start with this one, eh? Is that all right with you? I was just segueing into this.
Can I ask you real quick here, Dip? When you said that you went through this really big patch of depression in your life, what got you out of it? Because when you're in depression, it is really hard to
way out of that. Without getting too personal into.
Yeah, sure.
When Dad was alive, and Mum passed away, he was ringing me every day at 4 o'clock in the morning for 6 years, and basically just say, "Look, I don't know where I am, but you better come around." He was living in a townhouse. They sold the family home, and I was sort of coming around every day and sitting with him, and he'd go, "Oh, I feel better now." And he suffered from bipolar depression virtually all his life. And it's like euphoric highs and lows. And I got to 56 before I actually had it. And it started to get to me, and I had a few issues there. And basically, I went into this spiraling thing of depression. And you go real agoraphobic. You don't want to talk to people. You close yourself up, and basically people try and contact, and you just want to be on your own. And so basically, I think it was I actually went into hospital, and I had that ECT, which is electroconvulsive therapy. I'm probably getting it personal here, but I just want to let it out I can present this facade of being outgoing and always happy, but I've had my demons and I've had my low period. And but I look, each time I've come out of this, it's happened to me twice, and I've come out more creative. And I don't know whether it's to do with the convulsive therapy, but or just the fact that I've seen the world in a different light. But I've just found that my poetry is very therapeutic for me, and why I like doing it. And so that's a little bit of history there, and probably why I can relate to people that have had depression. And I've lost a lot of good friends through depression, and a lot of good surfing mates, and it is sad. And I think I recalled the story last time of a friend that I could read between the lines. You tend to become your own a doctor of that game, and when you've been there yourself, and you pick up on little things that people say. And she was very down on herself, and we had about an hour talk on the radio about depression, and I didn't hear from her for a year. And I think I told her the story, because I get a bit upset when I talk about it, because she came back a year later and said, "Look, you saved my life a year ago," and just from talking. So there is a lot of credence in talking to people and having close friends when you go through all this. And I think one thing that Facebook has done for me is, and my poetry, is I've managed to find a lot of really, really close friends that, other than my normal friends, I've got friends on Facebook that I've really enjoyed to convey my poems to, and they've related. And I wrote a poem the other day for a friend that who'd lost a mum, and I really get a buzz out of writing eulogies. And she was pretty wrapped with that. She said, "Look, I can climb mountains, but I can't talk to people, you know, face-to-face. And that's one thing you find, that what it does with reciting is that you get more, you're less inhibited with talking and conveying. And you know, a lot of people can't sort of face people in an audience, and I find it really fun to do, and that's why I enjoy going to the nursing homes and the schools and reciting to the kids in the nursing homes. It's just the buzz. So the more I get to do this, the more I enjoy reciting, because a lot of times people, they read my poems, and because as I said to you, my poetry is all very basic four-line rhyme. It's not very metaphoric. It's not where you go, I've got to get a dictionary out to understand what you just said. So when I write, read, you'll find it's got the same rhythm, but it tells a story. And in this one here was, as I said, so that's pretty well where I've come from with my depression, and basically I've come out of it always a better person. And, you know, I'm pretty at ease with my life. And I think since getting off shift work too, my body clock and my metabolism have come really changed a lot, and I've noticed my sleeping pattern is being a lot more uniform now, you know.
Good,
so
good.
Anyone out there that I'm sure you've had these listeners and you've got friends that have been through this depression, and you might never know that yourself, and a lot of people are guarded. It is. And you know, I really feel for people that, because a lot of people have misunderstood what it's like, and do have this impression it's all psychological and all that. But there is a bit of a chemistry change. But it can take a trauma in your life, or it can take a situation that can bring it out. And so when I heard that Robin Williams had passed on, I thought of depression, and when I heard that it was the depression that killed him, I was quite shocked, like a lot of people, because the image that he presents to the public is one that's totally, you know, you'd never pick it. And so it's called Behind a Smile, and it's like, it goes, there is a world not everyone sees. It's dark and too many a secret. Fond memories held and nothing to ease. The pain, just want to leave it. Behind a smile, a happy facade, there's a world we never see. I've been down that road in this regard, so listen to my plea. Don't hide behind a forceful smile. Let your true feelings out. For nothing in life can reconcile and can leave you with no doubt. That black dog bites when least expected. Don't hide behind a disguise. It's a personal fight of a mind rejected, clouded by self-lies. Another sufferer lost today. Many hearts are broken. Loss of a life is a price to pay from a disease that's never spoken. Farewell to a man who brought us joy, laughter and happiness inside. Just wish everyone could deploy to get everyone to swallow their pride. Behind a smile, I see a man who gave no indication, in denial to every fan, no understandable explanation. That's unless you've walked that road, experienced the black dog's bite. No one sees your life erode, because no one has turned on the light. If you have a loved one or a friend who doesn't seem to be coping, make an effort to understand and challenge the person you're scoping. Four simple letters that spell out a word, four letters you have to say. I know to some this might seem absurd, but ask them, are you okay? That poem was written just after, but I've written a couple like that on depression, and we have a day over in Australia. I don't know if it's worldwide. It's called Are You OK? And it's just, the letters Are You OK? Meaning that to talk to people and ask them, you know, is you want to talk about it. And that day comes around, it's a certain time of the year, and It's a bit like all the other sort of causes, you know, breast cancer and prostate cancer, and are you okay? There's all these different days where people get behind this, and it's amazing when you find out some of the main celebrities in the world that have suffered pretty badly from it, and they present this facade, like I said, like Robin Williams is a classic case in point, that you'd never pick him to be a sufferer of that until you hear the stories behind his life, you know.
That's powerful.
Yeah, well, you know, I sort of I wrote that from the heart, and I, that's the thing with a lot of my poems. As I said, they're all written from the heart and from images that that I convey, and a lot of them are just written in about 3 or 4 minutes, and I just get an image and get an idea. And so just on that sort of same vein, I've written another one just similar to that regarding Depression Awareness Week. I don't want to make this sound somber because I'm going to move on to a bit more brighter, but I just wanted to get this out because there's a lot of people out there that you probably are sitting right next to or you see on a train and you don't know what they're suffering. And I just think the Are You Okay Day is a good thing that everyone should get behind. And I shared this, this is a sad fact that someone out there is suffering from this insidious disease right next to you. And I wrote the same, and look, I'm reading this too, it's a similar vein to what, but it's the same idea. It goes like, I have walked the black dog, because the black dog is what the black dog of depression. So I have walked the black dog, I have left its bite. I have gone to bed not knowing if I'll ever see the new light. For that's the evil of depression. It's what it can do. So with this message I'm pursuing, to always be there for you. Don't ever give up, for you have a friend to ask, are you okay? Never give in, I'll be there to the end. I'll be there. You just have to say, hold out your hand, I'll understand. This feeling you are revealing, I comprehend, and in this message I send to anyone who's concealing. Please share with me this hurt inside. Please share so I can feel. The hurt you have, you must confide. This pain, you must reveal. I am your man, I understand, and will to my dying day. While you can, please make this stand and tell me, are you okay? So that were just two that I thought I'd want to get out because, you know, like I said, it's a pretty prevalent sort of thing that people are becoming more aware of, you know. So so moving on, making it a bit more brighter. They were okay to understand. You got the gist of where I was coming from with them, I hope.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the thing is, even when you write about a topic that is not necessarily, the happiest in the world, being able to express that and being able to share that with others, I think also helps them let them know it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, look, and as I said, I've had a few friends that I've actually read between the lines, and I've actually sort of messaged them. I said, you've got a bit of depression there going, and we've had talks about it. And when you've been there, you've been down that road, you can really relate pretty hard, you know. And it's a fine line, you know, that you draw between, you know, being over the edge and being not. And it doesn't take much in your life to trigger. You know, it starts off as anxiety and you know, indecisiveness, and that can just roller coaster on. And I think it's a good thing that everyone's aware of, and not to think it's just a psychological thing. It's a real thing out there, and people do suffer from it. Yeah.
It's powerful. But on to other topics.
Yeah. Well, so let's just get more positive here. And I wrote a poem. It's about hope and dreams, and it's called The Road of Hope, and it's probably going to seeing the light. You know, and this is a sort of a theme I've probably presented to unreal, accidentally here, but The Road of Hope. And it goes, there is a road we should always travel. This is the road of hope, where you can let your dreams unravel, where you will always cope. The road of hope, it may be long, with many changes of direction. Always remember, you must be strong. Let your dreams be your protection. For life is nothing without those dreams, for hope and dreams are what we aspire. Life is not always as it seems, but never lose hope's desire. There is a road we should always travel. This is the road of hope, where you can let your dreams unravel, where we will always cope. I repeated the first and this last verse, you know, it's sort of just playing with styles, and you know, and as I said, what I've been doing lately is I've been revisiting my poems. And as I said, I've got 3,000 odd poems these days, you know, after 5 years. And 5 years ago, I never picked up a pen in anger. So this passion to write's only just come in since the last you know, a few years, and who I would never have picked that I was even interested. But, you know, I'm revisiting these poems and realizing that, you know, in music, most of the stuff you read, you read lyrics, song lyrics, and they're basically four-line rhyme, and, you know, in certain ways. I mean, there's some songs that are just like prose, but I've been adding choruses to a lot of my poems, and I've had a few friends that are musicians that have actually put me, as you know, and I've actually given a few there, and I've had a friend that I go and visit, and I've talked about this before in town, a musician that's a great guitarist who has special guest musicians every week. So every time you go there, it's a different feel and a different sort of format. But Pete's such a great guitarist. He just picks up and just picks up the you know, the songs. And this one lady that I've been listening to, she was on a show called The Voice, which is, you've probably got the same in American Voice where you same. And she was a special guest, and she's got this amazing voice. And when Pete, between brackets, will come down and sit at the table and talk to, as this is, you know, he's nothing special. He gets down there. He's so humble, but his ability. And he came over at the end of the show, and his gig that he plays every Sunday, and we're talking. And this girl, Jules Marie, came over and sat down and talked. And we talked about, Pete said, Mark writes poems and he's doing lyrics now to his music. And she sounded pretty keen. And so I sent her five of my poems in the hope that she might be interested in putting music to my poems. And as what Megan, my friend on Facebook, did with that Will to Fly song, and Do You Know Who You Are? And there was a couple of others that I've done too. And I've got another friend on Facebook, young Mandy Baker, that did one called Special Candle, and she did a great version of that too. So I'm really enjoying the fact that people can see that you can add music to them, and that's where I'd like to head now. I'd like to be able to produce an album of songs that different musicians have used of my poems, and that would be a buzz. And I can understand why the music industry is such fun, and that's where I've got all the time in the world to pursue that. And if anyone out there is interested, when they hear some of my stuff, that want to try adding music to them, I'm more than welcome to let you do it, and have my blessing, because it's all credibility for me. And because I've got, you know, that many poems I've done now, that I want to share them with everyone. You know, if they can do something with them, it's great. Yeah. So,
well,
that's where I'm heading.
Well, I think you need to turn poetry into this giant coffee table book. You and I have talked about that in the past. But I really think that would be something that there would definitely be a market for it, you know, with beautiful pictures that you've shared with me, and you match that up to one of your fantastic poems, and you've just got it just speaks to so many different people, you know, old and young, and everywhere in between.
Well, yeah, but as you know, mate, I actually have done that first one, which is, and I am remiss in, I haven't got any left, but I'm thinking about doing another print run, because it's exactly what I did. I actually saw the images on Facebook, and I wrote the poem. I wrote an image. I wrote poems to the words to the image, and I actually inlaid them into the image the first time. But and that was 90 poems. Of those, 30 were images and 60 were poems just in words. But the next book I'm culling at the moment, I'm doing Poems from the Sea, which is all these amazing images of the ocean, of friends that are photographers that have taken these beautiful surf photos and ocean photos, and I've been inspired. And I actually have a friend in Cronulla that lives right on the Esplanade and looks from her bedroom window, and she's going to do a book of images just from her. She's got a pretty modest camera, and it's called From My Window, and it's all these incredible images. And what I've actually she shared them on Facebook, these images, and I've written poems to those images. And what I'd like to do is help her with that, and actually she wants to do it just with her photos, but I'd like to do one with her photos with my words, and which would be similar to her what she sees from her window. It's virtually what she sees from her window every morning. And as you know, every morning there's a cloud formation or another sunrise. Every sunrise is different. And the photos that she puts up on Facebook, and look, you know, everyone's got that ability to do that now because the cameras today are just amazing, you know, with, you know, motor drive and digital. You can point and shoot and delete what you don't like, and it's not like you've got to go and get them developed and you wait and see what's coming up. You can,
right.
Everyone's a budding photographer these days, but you still got to know how to compose the photo, and that's the secret. You know, whether you wait that certain point or you have a certain thing. Like some of the photos along our foreshore are just amazing. And I remember that I've explained to you when I've written recited some of the poems. I'm sitting here looking at the image and I'm trying to convey to the listeners what inspired me. So that's where a book site called Dip Tales, Poems from the Heart, which shows you these images. So your listeners can actually friend me on Facebook or go to Facebook and look at these images that inspired. And so you'll see all my poems, the whole 3,000 poems can be accessed on that Facebook, to where you see the image that inspired me, and whether it be sea images or romance images or motivational quotes, I've covered every subject. And that's the biggest problem now is actually putting them into categories and having an embarrassment of poems, so to speak, to try and cull them down to the best ones to suit a book. If I actually put all my poems into books, I'd have about 30 books, I'm sure, because, you know, easily.
Well, maybe you have like volumes. Poems. You know, you have one about, yeah, you know, romance, you have one about surfing, you have one about your fishing tales, you have one about whatever, you know, and you turn it into like an encyclopedia of poetry.
Well, that's what I like to do with this one, with Poems from the Sea, because a lot of people that picked up on my poetry later on, the book was already sold and gone, and they were virtually just given to friends. If I did, I only sold them for the price of the printing because I only wanted to get a bit of credibility, and basically these poems, I've moved on a bit. Like, they're still good poems in my eyes, but my poem style's changed a bit, but the book is still the first book, and a lot of people have asked to. I'd love to get a copy. So when I do eventually do the second book, I'd love to put out this first book again and do a print run and have a poems from the heart, poems from the sea, and poems from the soul, and have a trilogy, a free book set. And aim for something like Christmas or Mother's Day or whatever.
That'd be a great idea.
Well, you know, that's where I'd like to head. I've got the time to do it, and it's a passion to do it, so why not, you know? So I'll just continue on, mate, because, you know, this hour goes so quickly because, you know, when we start chatting, I end up going off the off the rails a bit.
Well, I think that's part of the fun, though, you know, because you tell us all these stories about, you know, why you're doing the specific poems that you're doing.
You know,
I think that's part of the fun.
The thing is, it's good for you because you're all new listeners, but I'm sure that a lot of my friends, you know, who hear me every day would go, oh, Christ, yeah, you're not going to tell that one. But, you know, it's all in fun. And, you know, I wrote a poem which, you know, I can relate to this one because I'd like to think it's me as well as you and a lot of other people that like to help people out. And it's called A Beautiful Heart, and it goes like this. I have a friend with a beautiful heart who never puts themselves first, is always there for you right from the start, and this love bubble will never burst. If you have a friend that fits this description, who makes you feel so proud, please share this ditty and its prescription and tell everyone out loud. I have a friend with a beautiful heart who's always warm and caring, a sort of friend with these words you impart, because their friendship is really worth sharing. Now, that's only a three-verse thing, but it was just a little quick one that, you know, someone says something, I said, yeah, I can relate to that, and, you know, they got a good heart, you know, and so I sort of write that, you know, in about 3 minutes, and that's the sort of stuff I like to do, is just get, and, you know, if I don't write this down, a couple of minutes later, I'll write something in the shower on the shower room wall. Oh, there's a wall or a line, and by the time I get out of that shower, if I haven't written it, I've forgotten it, and it's gone, you know, and that's what really annoys me about getting getting old is losing your short-term memory. And
I know. I think I'm right there with you.
I mean, I can remember songs from the 70s, but I can't remember where I left my car keys, you know.
Yeah.
I'll go out to the garage and I go, what the hell did I come out here for? And it is sad. And when you see people with depression, like I lost my dad through depression. At the start, it's a bit amusing. But, you know, when you see your own loved one sort of shut down because the body is not telling the brain what to do or the brain's not telling the body, it's sad. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have got loved ones that are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's, and you really feel for them because you want to remember them when how they remembered you and when they're bright. And so it is, and you go to the nursing homes and you recite the nursing homes, and I get a buzz out of that because I try and pick poems that are reminiscing poems, and you'll start to write a poem about growing up in the in the early days, I do one called Caringbah Road, which is a street in my area, and they'll relate to it. They'll start to talk to other people across the room. Oh, you remember that Harry, that car that was a Morris Minor, and I have one of those. So you're getting them talking, and other than a few of them falling asleep in the front row, a lot of them just get a buzz out of it. And I do that. Remember the poem I did the second interview with, was called Gotta Face the Ugly Truth? Well, that poem about getting old, they so relate to that poem. And I love doing it. I can do it off by heart now. And I get dressed up in as an old person. I've got a cane and an anti-cap hat. And I got my dad's cardigan. So I know the voice. Gotta Face the Ugly Truth? I'm getting old. And I do that for 16 verses. And the reaction, initially I thought, they might be offended that, in the end, they were just so wrapped with it. They just they could relate to it, and that's the buzz I got out of doing it. As much as I enjoy saying them, I just love the reaction. And when I went to the school and did it with the fifth and sixth class kids, their reaction was just amazing because I thought that with the kids today, they all text and they're all on an iPhone. The ability to write and grammatically is lost. And my friend is a school teacher. She invited me to her school, which is just year 5 and 6, like 11 and 12 year olds, to recite what I do at the nursing homes. And I said to Kerry, Kerry, they're too young. They're not going to really enjoy that. And no, you come along and give it a go. And the reaction, like I went back the next 2 weeks' time, and they're all cheering like I was a rock star. And I couldn't believe their reaction. They come to the front of the class, and they've all written poems. In the time that she said overnight they went from like no interest at all in poetry to all wanting to write, and they just changed their whole attitude, and some of their poems were really good, and I was that impressed. I actually put them on my Facebook site and showed that this was a year 11 year old wrote this. And honestly, there's a lot of budding poets out there that they don't know how good they can write, and it was just the impetus to get them going. So what Kerry and I want to do is go to all the schools where she talks about their poetic tools, and I give examples through my poetry of that and get them all interested in, because as I said to you last time, I go to a restaurant or a cafe, and I'll sit there at the restaurant and look out the window, and there's four tables of three girls, and they're all got their phones, and they're all texting. They're not one of them is conversing, and right. I'm sure that the ability to convert and to communicate and to write in word is being lost because of this this iPhone revolution, because they're nearly born with them now. I'm sure that these kids are going to come out with them in their hands one day. They'll cut the umbilical cord and there'll be an iPhone on the other end. That's the way it's getting. The kids today, they're great, and they're all going to have RSI of the fingers and typing and texting. It's pretty incredible,
Oh, yeah.
So
well,
I suppose
true.
In a way, But just on that, talking about, having a dream and having a goal, I did write this one this morning, and I think I wrote this in about a minute and a half. Everyone was talking about, everyone, I was thinking of your, putting out your album and having a dream in life and pushing it. And I wrote this one called Everyone, and it goes like this. Everyone needs a goal. Everyone needs a dream. And this is what I extol. It's what I want to redeem. Everyone has a special place, a place there in their heart, a place you love to embrace, a place you can never part. Everyone has a memory, be it faded and short, to share with each contemporary about things that life has taught. Everyone has a heart and soul. Everyone can spread the love, because all of my friends that I extol are all you guys above. Thanks for the friendship. It means a lot. So I wrote that to all my Facebook friends because I thought, geez, I've really got a lot of good friends. You know, I've got 600-odd friends now. And my wife says, they're just Facebook friends. You know, they're not really your friends. And I said, well, you might say that, but, you know, that, I sort of, you know, relate to them, and they tell me things on, you know, through their comments and that you can relate to. And one thing about the social network is, in this case, I use it as a platform for my poems, but you meet like-minded people, and you meet people that gravitate towards the same interests you have. And I've met some great surfing friends and I was telling you the story of Chris that I met through Facebook, who just enjoyed my rhymes and invited me to his wedding. But I never met him. An hour before the wedding, I met him, and I wrote that poem by gathering all his friends, getting a bit of dirt on his life. I went around individually to all his friends, and I actually made a poem up. And at the end of the ceremony, where, you know, he just got married at the local surf club, and because he'd been with his girl for 30 years, they had kids together, and they just decided that they wanted to marry. And so he gets me up on stage, and he goes, just say something, you know, do what you're doing. So I wrote this poem based on all the information that each individual of his friends had given, and before I said it, I got up on stage, and they're looking at me, there's 90 people, and I've gone, listen, you know, I was down at the local shopping centre at the entrance, which is the Central Coast, where he got married, and I said, this guy here, this Chris, he came up to me and said, look, I've got to make up numbers for my wedding. Would you mind coming along as just to make up the numbers? So that's how I came to this wedding, and because they're all looking at me on the stage. I've said this poem and had him in stitches because they could all relate to the fact that I must have known him for years. And I've come up and said, no, I've only just met. Well, it was true. I'd only met him an hour before the wedding. But I went away from that day with 90 new friends because his best man, Bill, who actually shaped surfboards, and Chris used to be the spray painter for Bill's board shop. And so Bill's a little bit older than Chris, and he was the best man. And I said, look, I've got to drive back to Sydney, which is a couple of hundred Ks. He said, no, you're staying the night. I'm going to put you up at my place. You can't do that. And in the morning, he showed me all of his area, which is the Central Coast. And he gave me there's a surfing magazine called Tracks, and he gave me the original pristine copy of Tracks, and he showed me his surfing museum of boards surfboards for all the professional surfers in the area of the Central. He's a well-respected board maker, and mate, he was amazing, and I'll never forget that, you know, that hospitality. And I picked up 90 friends there, and we still talk. And to this day, Chris is always saying, you come back up anytime. And so, you know, where you say it's just Facebook, yeah, that was a situation.
No, it's a lot more than that.
People see Facebook. Yeah, mate.
I have a question for you. Recently, I saw you post a picture having to do with making surfboards, like you were in a surf shop. Is that back at the wedding time, or is that something recent?
That was just recent. That was a mate who his name's he goes under the name of Carvely Surfboards, and his name's Grant Orsley. Now Grant is a local board maker. He's just got a bit of a backyard thing going, but he fixes up all my boards, and I had a bit of a contra deal going with him because, you know, when you're working in the surfboard industry, you're working in this sanding dust with fiberglass and sanding foam, and he used to work there when I used to at work with the refinery. It's very, very safety conscious, and we used to always be. They always push the thing about having protection for masks and all that. And I used to get Grant some masks for sanding because I thought, well, and he used to fix me boards because my kids have got, you know, both my boys are into their surfing. And, you know, to get boards fixed, you know, when your boards are getting damaged the way they do with my kids, and Grant's willing to fix them, and I used to get him the parts. So that picture was just purely him. Grant was making a surfboard at the time, and I made out that I was. And those that picture of me with the head shavings on my head was actually where you have a stringer down the middle of the board. It's like a wooden stringer that you split the foam and you put that and you glue that stringer in to make the board stronger. And that's just the planing that was the offcut or the cutting, the planing stringers that looked like a head of hair. And I haven't got much hair these days, so it was a fun picture. But that was just his board, his different bays in his little factory there, where he was actually about to glass a surfboard. And so I've always wanted to make out that I could do it. And so we took that photo in just a bit of fun.
Well, it sure looks like you were an expert.
Yeah, well, Grant's very good at it, and he's a local sort of identity, and that he comes down surfing with us, and you know he works so he can go surfing. He just does enough to get by, you know, and that's what he does. He's been a good friend for me for fixing the boards, and you know, I'm happy to give him a plug, Carbley Surfboards, and he. You know, a bit of an underground guy, but well, look, we've got a few board manufacturers in the area. Jackson, we've got Force 9, we've got Ryan Bridges makes boards. He's very good. There's a lot of good manufacturers in the area, and there's enough space for everybody. And when you're living in a surfing community, everyone knows everybody. It's 1 degree of separation. And you know, I was down there this morning, and the trouble we've got at the moment with the sandbars on the beach aren't really that formed, and there's only one bank, and everyone's sort of forming and congregating around the one spot on the beach. That's why I enjoy getting overseas. As you know, I go to the Mentawai Island surfing, and so that's why I love to get away. And this October, I'm taking both my boys to Butcherzat Island in the middle of the Indian Ocean surfing. And I'm looking forward to that, to get away from the crowd, because that's what it's all about, is finding waves to yourself. And even though I love riding, the passion is surfing, and if I can get in the water every day, it's therapeutic for me. So that's why I do it, you know.
Well, I love that story. I think that's great. And anytime you want to post more pictures of you either surfing or making surfboards, I highly encourage you to do so.
Oh, mate. Well, look, as I said, if your listeners are really interested in seeing, you know, I'm an open book when it comes to my life, and I've put it virtually on Facebook, and those poems that I write to can be anything from that picture that can inspire me. I've written on the local political. I've written on, and I've even written Obama ones on your politics. It's quite amusing the amount of mileage you can get out of politics. I mean, obviously, your Democrat Republic splits a lot of people, and you never want to lose friends over politics, sex, or religion. You know, I've learnt that. You know, you got to be very careful what you post on these, because you touch a nerve with a people that are very, very. It brings out the worst and the best in people.
Isn't that funny, though?
Oh, mate, it is. You say something on there, and you get this reaction. You go, "Oh, I've hit an Achilles heel here," and
right?
You got to watch it. So you've got to know when to pull back on certain subjects. As you know, it's politics can get pretty personal and get very emotional, especially in our politics as well as yours. You know, we, in actual fact, ours is at 18. You've got compulsory voting. In your politics, it's up to you whether you vote or not. It's not compulsory. And sometimes I feel that, you know, if your voting was compulsory, you might have a different result in reaction. But in sometimes we get a lot.
I got to ask you, how do you have compulsory voting? How does that actually work? Because I would be fascinated if our entire country actually did go vote.
Well, you can be at 18. You've got to go on an electoral roll. Everyone that's registered on that electoral roll, you know, there's people that probably, you know, live out in the bush that never ever declare themselves, you know, that they're actually existing. But because you've got a license or you've got anything that's regarding a payment, they're all interrelated. So they know that you're existing. You know, they're not stupid. You've got a tax file number. So basically, you go on an electoral roll, and at the age of 18, you're obliged to vote on local election and federal elections, and you get fined heavily if you're not shown that you've actually, even if you go and do a donkey vote, you've got to get your name marked off at an electoral ballot bowl. So you've got all the schools and the churches on an election day, they have ballot boxes, and you can go to your local riding and go and vote, and your name gets ticked off and screwed and marked off by these people that sit in the ballot boxes, a poll.
Okay.
So that they know, and they can cross-reference that, and they know when you haven't voted. So that's why it's compulsory to vote in Australia. And I know in America, you guys aren't compelled, or you're not. It's not mandatory or compulsory for you to vote. You don't have to go
every election, and we've made it really easy here now, where you can vote by mail. And some states even do all of their voting by mail now, just to save on money and all of that. And it makes so much more sense. I would think it'd be great if we could vote electronically on email, or you log in someplace with a secure login or something.
Exactly. Well, the electronic, that's where the next thing will go electronically, because it just means that people have to worry about, like, people go, oh, I've got to go to the bloody polling booth this morning.
Right.
Just stuff like that. Yeah, if you've got online, probably find that you get a lot more. But getting back to, you've got like 240 million people. We've got like 27 million. So for you guys to vote compulsorily, and of those people that are 18 and over...
Yeah,
it'd be totally, and I know that you've got people that have got no interest in politics whatsoever, but there's people that are just lazy not to go out because it means, and they just don't want to know about it because of all the razzmatazz for it. But,
I agree.
I think people are starting to realise that the importance of leadership, and, your country in regarding political sides can get pretty personal, and you got your Obama followers and you've got your opposition followers, and every time, as soon as someone comes into office, you've got Republican and Democrats, we've got Liberal and Labor, which would be the equivalent, and at the moment we've got a Liberal government, and so whatever government's in, everyone puts shit on that government because, and they're always trying to, win brownie points by, promises, that they're going to do all this when they get elected. And then when they get elected, certain things don't get done. And so everyone gets on their case. And I'm sure there's the Obama, anti-Obama people. And,
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
I love some of your talk based show, and some of the comedians that actually impersonate them. This is where I was getting back to Robin Williams. He does this show that goes for an hour and 30 minutes, and it's just full on putting crap on your politicians. And you actually have those things where you have like roasts, where parliamentary roasts, where they come in and they actually put crap on their opposition in a fun way, and I there was one of those the other day. But Robin Williams, I really got a new respect for that guy. Pity that he's dead, because that guy was what he got away with as a comedian was so funny. It was really good to listen to.
Just a classic. And you know what, Mark? We're now out of time. Our hour has actually flown by.
Another 10 palms of tea. This is what happens. We digress and we
diverse. But see, this is the fun. This is what makes it fun. I love just chatting with you.
I love it.
Finding
out
what's going on in your world and vice versa.
It's like I've known you for years. I
know.
I'm sitting here talking. It's not like, oh, God, I'm on the radio. This is the beauty of this, just talking like this. I'm just sitting here looking. I hope that bounces off the listeners too, that this is this is all raw. It's uncut. It's unedited. It's just straight out from the heart.
This is completely memorized. Not a single word we utter here, Dip, is staged at all. You know, it's all rehearsed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, bro.
But,
we've been rehearsing this for months.
we got to go. So I'm going to have to tell you goodbye for tonight or afternoon, your time, and then we'll have you back in June and we'll figure out another day to have some fun with poetry.
And listen, all the best with your album launch and your single. I hope it really does it for you. And I really do appreciate your time because without you over there, I would never get that American connection. And I just hope I do pick up on. I know I have a few American friends on Facebook, and if this gives me a bit more exposure, well, all the best. Yeah? So,
there we go.
And all the best for you. All right.
Well, thank you, Dip. Until next time, everybody have a great day. Don't drive distracted, and we'll see you live on noon. That's California time with Mr. Adrian Stiles calling in from the United Kingdom in London, and he's going to be talking about his new album. So everybody have a great day or night or morning, wherever you're at. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.